There are a number of days that we all celebrate each year. I mean, what did we have? We had Valentine's Day recently. Pancake Day just before that. Easter's
birthdays.
Easter's early this year. Birthdays. Christmas Day.
National days.
Yeah, bank holidays are good.
And I always remember things like when friends died, for instance. I always remember those anniversaries and things. But I have one other date in my calendar. And I know, speaking to other disabled people, they often think about it as well. And that's their, for want of a better word, disability anniversary. And mine was this week. You going to wish me a happy anniversary, everybody?
Happy anniversary.
February the 16th was the day I lost my sight, 32 very long years ago when I was 13. And so I never, I have to admit, some years I want to celebrate it, like on the 30th anniversary. And other years I come at it, I think, I don't know what I think of it really this year. Don't know, not quite sure. But always I have it as a kind of let you off the hook day. You know, I came into work on Tuesday, I thought, nothing's going to faze me today. Nothing else really matters.
Oh, a bit of perspective.
Yeah.
So that's how important thing. So that's how you mark it then?
That is how I mark it, by letting myself off the hook, everybody. Hope my boss isn't listening to this. Kathleen, you have a disability day.
Yeah, it's actually not a disability day. I was just thinking that as you were saying about disability anniversaries. It's the day that I got meningitis. So 4th of December 2007 is definitely a date that's ingrained in my mind. But it's not actually the day that I had my legs amputated.
And is that ingrained in your mind?
Not anymore. It used to be. So I've been an amputee for, you do the maths, since 2007, 8 years now. And for
nine
about
the... years?
9 years.
Does that shock you?
Yeah.
I can tell there's a big pause there.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to do the maths myself and it did shock me.
But you told me you have a couple of days that you remember each year.
Yeah. So, well, for the first four or five years, I remembered the dates for my amputations. But now they are just a distant memory and I hardly even remember the days. I know one of them was at the beginning of March and one of them was the 27th of February.
And this is Inside Ouch. I'm Damon Rose. That was Kathleen Hawkins talking.
Hello.
And Lee Kumutat is in the studio too.
Hello.
And on the line from, I haven't asked them that, where, Manchester, is it?
We're in Leyland.
Leyland. Oh, sorry. That was just a... And on the line from Leyland in Lancashire, we have Nick and Sophia Crockett. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for joining us. You're going to tell us you had an anniversary this week. This is Sophia, isn't it? Sophia, what do you call your day and when was it?
Yesterday, it was my bug-busting day.
Bug-busting day. And what does that mean?
So we just pretty much celebrate the day that I got meningitis and I started fighting it. Busting the bugs.
Busting those bugs. And because you beat it.
Yep.
So it's really a positive thing for you. How did you celebrate?
Well, my friends came over. My friend, her mum and dad. And
hello, dog.
Hello, dogs. And my brother's friend, Marina, she actually made this big rainbow cake. And it was really nice, actually.
So you had a big party.
She's on top. It wasn't exactly a party, but we were just celebrating it in the house.
And how does it make you feel? Is it important to celebrate that day?
Yeah, because really, it just helps me remember my story. It makes me feel glad that I'm an amputee.
And Nick, am I right? You invented this day.
I'm not quite sure exactly who invented it. It came around that we'd met many people who'd either become amputees or suffered from meningitis or lost loved ones. Yeah. And they tended to rue the day, if you like. They'd see the day in the diary coming up and think, okay, right, that's going to be a bad day. And we for the first couple of years, we had quite a tough time on the anniversary, on the February the 17th. And we'd sort of get upset and think about what had happened and how life could have been different. And then we sort of just came up with the concept of, wouldn't it be great if we could look forward to that day and make it a special day? Because in a way, it's where Sophia's story started, where her journey started, and where she moved to a completely different paradigm in life and has achieved so much as a result. So we'd start off initially with just like a present, or Karen and Sophia go out for lunch or go shopping for shoes, which is suitably ironic.
Yeah, no, I can fit into them properly.
We should say it's ironic because you had an amputation, didn't you, as part of busting those bugs?
Yep.
And, And do you want to tell us about that?
Yes. Yeah, so below my knee on my left leg, because my leg was badly damaged, they had to amputate it. And also my right leg, it was badly damaged. I just got part of my ankle amputated. I've still got all my leg, though.
Yeah, they had to remove some of the dead tissue from around her ankle, yeah, and around her right leg.
Well, it's made it very weak.
You managed to save her right leg, but it's incredibly weak, so she has to wear a rigid splint permanently to
give
that support.
Yeah, but it's articulated, so I have a pretty natural walk.
I was just pointing at you then, Kathleen.
Oh, sorry, I was just listening. I like to hear your story, knowing like the similarities in our experience. And the fact that I had both legs amputated and you had one amputated, but there was damage to the other.
Do you do anything on your day, Kathleen? So the 4th of December, which is the day that you got ill, what happens on that day? Do you think about it very much?
Do you know what? I missed it this last December. I didn't even think about it for the first year. And actually, the day after, when I realised that I hadn't thought about it, I felt really strange.
Did you?
And I never celebrated it. Like, I would always speak to my parents on that day, and we would kind of say, are you okay? Have you been thinking about it? Because I know that my mum does think about it a lot on the 4th. But I've never celebrated. I should have done, because it's so close to my birthday as well. It's only the week before my birthday. And so I should have kind of turned the negative feelings into positive, like Sophia, and had big slabs of cake. But I didn't. I just always kind of took a moment out of my day to just dwell on how ill I was at that point.
And how far you've come, some maybe?
Yeah, but more just the memories. It sounds quite morbid, but it's not. But like, life gets so busy that I think that I don't take any time anymore, really, to sit and think about the experience of being in hospital and being that ill and everything that's happened since. So, yeah, just take a moment for myself.
So when you missed it and you said you felt strange, what kind of strange?
I couldn't believe that I'd missed it. This date that is so ingrained in my brain, and every year I had like woken up and thought, oh, it's the 4th today, that I just hadn't even thought about it.
And do you think that's a sign of anything? Is that
That I'm distracted and busy, and perhaps have, I don't know, moved on in some way from that initial feeling towards that date.
So Sophia and Nick, was there a reason why you started celebrating bug busting day? Was there, did you start, you know, because this all happened when Sophia was 2 years old, did you start at 3 years old?
Yeah, we didn't start straight away. As I said, I think it was about 3 or 4 years later that I think it was at the time where we started to see that Sophia's life and our life was getting back on track, that that actually some cool things were happening as a result of her disability.
Yep, you're right.
About getting involved in sport in a big way, running Mini Great North Run, Mini Manchester Run, taking part in triathlons, meeting famous Paralympians. And then I think at that stage we then felt comfortable in turning this into something special, because although our lives are in a completely different path as they would have been previously, I think sometimes when you acquire a disability or an illness, you sometimes wish you could be back on that old path. And I think in a way, sometimes when you embrace the path that you're on and just accept what it is, good things can happen and things can move forward positively.
What did you feel this week, Damon, around yours? What's your kind of thinking about your day?
I'm looking at you accusingly as if to say, don't ask me any questions about it, can't we just forget about it?
Let's get deep in your experience.
But what did I think? Well, this year, as I said, I walked into work with a kind of warm feeling around me, thinking actually nothing is going to touch me today, nothing is going to bother me, no silliness from commuters or people grabbing me in a body hold like they could quite often do on the way into work, trying to help me in a slightly clumsy way. It's not going to bother me today. I'm just going to smile at that. I'm going to be zen-like. And that's how I sort of deal with it most times. I put something out on Twitter earlier today asking when people's disability anniversaries were. And, of course, a lot of people came back and said, well, it was my birthday, wasn't it? Because a lot of people were born disabled. My favourite was probably from Justin Richardson, who tweeted in and said, affectionately, we refer to this as my quadiversary. So I assume that's the day he became a quadriplegic. I'm just guessing by the word.
Or a quadruple amp.
Or a quadruple amp, I suppose. He says he always celebrates with a nice meal and drinks with friends.
What about you, Lee?
I'm sort of the control group on this one because I don't, my sight went quite gradually. So there isn't really a day. The only anniversary I can sort of think of is the day I got my first guide dog, which was Valentine's Day.
Oh.
Still the best Valentine's gift I've ever been given.
And actually, that was this week as well.
Yeah, Valentine's Day. Yeah, you got us nothing, Damon. Nothing. Nothing from
you. I didn't know. No. I didn't know. If only I'd known.
It's rubbish. But that's the only one. I mean, I know that I had an operation to try and save my sight. I was about four. And I remember that Christmas I couldn't get down and muck about with all the other children, my brothers, because I was ill and recovering. And I remember, you know, my mother saying, you know, don't fight too close to your sister. And I remember sitting on the end of the couch and opening my presents very sedately. So I know that it was about them, but I don't ever think about it.
Have you ever spoken to your mum about it?
No, I get the feeling they don't have days either. Yeah. I know there was a day when my mother realised that I wasn't seeing as much as she thought I could. And I don't know if I've invented this memory or not, but I sort of picture her being in the car and saying, look at the cows. And I saying, I can't see any cows. Mm-hmm. And her freaking out. I don't actually know how real that memory is. And I haven't actually ever asked her. But I suspect they don't have days. But I mean, you know, both my parents have had grave illnesses, and I always remember the day that we found out that they were ill. So, you know, I completely understand why people would do it and mark it the way that Nick and Sophia are. I think it's probably a good idea.
Because, Nick, do you think that the day is as much for you and Karen as it is for Sophia as well?
Yeah, definitely. So I think it's a case of if we left it as just a normal day and we worried about it, it would define us and define us as a family. But we've sort of tried to change that definition that it becomes something positive, something good.
It becomes a special occasion for us.
And it's almost, again, you mentioned earlier about it being, it's like another birthday. Mm. That her, there's certain things that she's achieved as a result of her illness that we as parents got to see Sophia walk the first time, a second time, if that makes sense. And not many parents get to see that on a second occasion. And to see her run for the first time, to see her achieve certain things, it's really important. Yeah.
Do you think there'll be a time, Sophia, when you might not want to celebrate it, when you might, you know, 10 years down the track, do you think at the age of 21, it's still something you'll celebrate?
Yeah, because, well, whenever I celebrate a special occasion, then it just stays there. It's pretty much just still going to happen. I'm not going to change my mind, but yeah, there's a 75% chance.
Still trying to make your mind up. I guess when you when you're that ill as well and you come that close to death, that there is like a real positivity behind it, isn't it? You have really like fought and survived that thing.
We felt that from many families that we've met that are meningitis survivors or amputees as a result of meningitis, that they seem to have a very different drive about them. They have a very different, it's almost been a rebirth for them, which I think it creates some quite extraordinary individuals who've been through that disease.
But I sort of do understand why people wouldn't necessarily want to mark it as well. You know, I guess for some people it might be too painful, or they think they, you know, they're quite easily moved past it and it's not something that needs to be marked. Can you understand that point of view?
Yeah, totally. And I think we've had quite a few people, friends and new friends, that come to us on social media and said, okay, it's wonderful what you're doing, but it's too raw for us. We can't do that just yet. Yeah. And then there's other people who are saying, what a really cool idea. When we're ready, we're going to do the same. And I think there's an element of waiting until the time is right to celebrate, if you know what I mean. That if it's still too raw for some people, it's really difficult to turn it into a celebration or a rebirth. Because if your life is looking worse than it was beforehand, then I think it's really difficult to embrace it in that way.
Mm. And talking about social media, we can't end this podcast without mentioning Faye Burdett, who was 2 years old, who died this week, and her mother shared a picture of her before she died with a rash all over her. She had meningitis B. And also Matt Dawson, who's the former England Rugby Union captain, after Faye's story emerged, he revealed that this week his family had gone through 2 weeks of hell with their baby boy, Sam, who luckily has pulled through and is well. You were 2 years old, Sophia, and these two in the news this week were two as well.
Yeah, very common. Very common age.
Babies and students are the people that get meningitis the most.
And as a result of the prominence on social media this week, almost 500,000 signatures have been put on the on Parliament's petition page, which is to get the vaccine for meningitis B to be given to all children. So at the moment, it came in last September, didn't it? Who knows more about this?
It was put into the Childhood Immunisation Programme last year. But children, I can't even remember what age it goes up to, Nick.
One.
All right. So children over the age of one are not covered in this. So parents would still have to pay for that vaccine. And so this petition is to try and get the vaccine given to all children.
This is something that we, as the work on the charity and as ambassadors, Meningitis Research Foundation, have been campaigning for years, to try and get onto the vaccination programme. That's one step. It was worthy of celebration to get it in the Childhood Immunisation Programme. But then, as we said earlier, there are kids from the age of 2 to 5 that are the next risk group that are missing out on the vaccine unless the parents are prepared to go and pay an awful lot of money to get it done in the private sector. So in a weird sort of way, this horrible story with Faye has done a world of good in raising awareness. And I think her parents were very brave in sharing those pictures and those images to get people understanding exactly what this disease can do to people. And I think her legacy is going to be extraordinary. 500,000 people, as a result, have seen pictures, have signed the petition, and it's going to make a difference. It's raised more awareness in a week or so than I think thousands of people could have done.
More positives coming from negatives.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And Sophia, did we ask you, Sophia, what present, did you get any presents on Bug Busting Day?
I got just one off my best friend, Jen.
Hang on a minute.
Oh, wait. No, two.
Dad's present's forgotten already.
Stupid memory. I got this really big stereo. It's really cool.
Nice.
Yeah, it's got the best sound ever, honestly. But you shouldn't really trust me with one of these.
Have you been blasting it round the house all week?
It's currently in the living room, but it's going to get moved to the bedroom soon. I think it'll be closely followed with, turn that down!
Moving into those teenage years.
Nick and Sophia, thanks ever so much for joining us today. And happy Bug Busting Day again. And happy disability anniversary, whatever we're calling it, to everybody else out there listening who might be celebrating their day this week as well. Until next Friday then, that's been Inside Out, Kathleen.
Thanks.
And Lee, thank you. Thank you for being here. And we'll be back next Friday.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.